First Samuel chapter 17, and hope nobody got blowed up with fireworks today, the reason they're not here tonight. But last night I was up here praying, and it's kind of a little bit late, getting close to about midnight, and they wasn't shooting no fireworks, and I guess they thought about that time, it's time to start shooting them. Well, it never dawned on me one time is fireworks. I can tell you right now, if a devil would have stuck his head out, I'd have filled him with holes. But I left the sanctuary, went in my office, and it dawned on me, that's fireworks. I thought the Chinese was falling in on us. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I don't want to read this whole chapter, but I do. What do y'all think? Well, let's just read verse number 10, and then we'll skip down to verse number 38. And we'll preach the whole chapter and the rest of the Bible too. Y'all got time, don't you? All right, verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. David's come down. Bible says that he heard the Philistine, and Bible says that he shouted for the battle. And he's come down there, and he said in verse number 26, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It came to Saul, the word got to Saul, verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand. That's the shepherd's staff. I don't know what the devil thought about that. What in the world did he need that shepherd's staff for? Took the staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the field. David speaks for the first time to this Philistine. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee, will take thine head from thee, and will give the carcass of the host, and give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It came to pass, as the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath thereof, slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Can you say amen? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we thank you for this service tonight. Thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Pray that you'll move in this service for your glory, Lord. Help us, God, to receive from you tonight. Receive what you would have for us, Lord. Thank you for it, Jesus. We give you the praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. In your holy name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach tonight on two truths that shall yet be revealed. That's my title. Two truths that shall yet be revealed. David begins to speak to this Philistine. This is very familiar to us. I mean, even to the youngest class of the Sunday school, I'm sure they've probably heard the story of David and Goliath. And we've heard it preached on probably hundreds or thousands of times, depends on how long you've been in church. There's no way, like I said Wednesday night when I preached on the 23rd Psalm, there's no way I can preach anything new, but I feel like the Lord dealt with me on this scripture here, and I'd like to preach on two truths that shall yet be revealed. See, we're facing a Goliath, or we're facing a giant in this day and hour just the same. We're facing the giant of sin. We're facing the enemies come against the church. He like to tear us down. He wants to defy us. Bible says, and the Philistine said, he didn't just do it, he said it. He said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. I defy them. I put you down. He was boasting in himself. Have you ever seen such a proud day when people are proud of their sin? I mean, proud to be sinners and proud to, amen, to resist God and proud to do all the things that they do. I'm telling you what, amen, we're facing a giant today that is defying the armies of God. David said, who is this man? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? See, that before Goliath came down, David told us two truths. And I believe those two truths are still yet to be revealed in our life and in this church and in our country for a move of God. I'm telling you what, the only way we're going to have a move of God is if we believe God enough to stand against the giant. It's the only way. You can't look to this one to do it or that one to do it. I'm telling you what, we've got to stand against the giant today. That's why we're going to have a move of God. Stand up. You know how David stood up against the giant? Because he had been serving God in a pasture somewhere and God had proved himself to him. He had been out there and he cared about the small things of God, and a lion and a bear took a lamb, and David cared about the smallest issue, a little bitty lamb. And if it had been some of us, we'd say, well, it's just a lamb. I can't do anything about it. Just have to tell Dad. No, but David cared about the small issues. I'm telling you what, the only way we'll be used of God is if we care about reading our Bible, if we care about praying, if we care about showing up for church, if we care about the small things. Everybody wants to kill Goliath. Hello? Or everybody wants to kill a bear and everybody wants to kill a lion, but who wants to take care of a little lamb called reading your Bible and praying every day? Huh? Everybody wants to kill a lion, but who wants to show up on Wednesday night when you don't feel good? I mean, who wants to show up for prayer meeting? Who wants to show up? Who wants to start prayer meeting? Hello? Says, show up for prayer meeting, Brother Sam. We ain't got one. Well, who wants to start prayer meeting? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about the little things is what will bring us to the place where we can believe God that he'll take care of that one too. But he said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of those armies you've defied. And this giant that's defying the church today and trying his best to overcome and beat us up in a corner, I'm telling you what, we don't come in our own strength. We come in the name of the Lord, God of hosts. Amen. But here's what he said. He said, I'm going to take you. I'm going to smite you. He said, I'm going to take your head from you. David's looking. This little bitty boy is looking at this huge giant. He said, I'm going to smite you. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'm going to smite you. He said, I'm going to take your head from you. I'm going to give the carcass of the host of the Philistines. He didn't say, I'm going to give your carcass. He said, I'm going to give the carcass of the host of the Philistines to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And here's the one number one truth that is yet to be revealed. That all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. Praise God. It wasn't revealed yet. All the armies of Israel still standing over there in the corner, shaking and scared to death. Amen. They was getting beat up in a corner, but David said there's going to be a truth revealed. When God gives us the victory and when God brings you down, there will be a truth revealed. And number one truth is going to be that the whole earth, he didn't say the Philistines, he didn't say the scared Israelites, he said the whole earth is going to know that there's a God in Israel. And I'm telling you what, I believe that number one truth that shall be revealed, amen, is that when God moves for his people, and when God moves for the church, amen, the whole earth is going to know, amen, that there's a real God in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this is for the whole earth. He said that the whole earth may know. And I'm telling you what, news spreads. It spreads so quick. And I tell you what, it seems like it's all bad news. It's about time for a revival. Amen. And where the news will spread all over this earth. That God, there is a God among his people. And it will be revealed. But it's going to be revealed when giant comes down. It's going to be revealed when Goliath comes down. Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. We could all quote that little phrase right there. Probably be still and know that I am God. He said, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I'm telling you what, God's still on the throne and God still moves for his people. And here there was a giant condemning them and defying them or backing them up in the corner. Amen. Taking away their courage. And David said, there's something this whole world's going to know in a little while. And the whole world's going to know that God's in the midst of us. I'm telling you what, God was in the midst of them the whole time. But they needed a David that would stand up so God could show the world that he's still in the midst of his people. I'm telling you what, we know God's in the midst of us. We can feel his presence. We can feel his anointing, but we need a David that'll stand up and face Goliath face to face. Amen. One on one, so God can show himself strong and that he's still in the midst of his people. There's two instances in Daniel that are very familiar to us. Number one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going in the fire, and Haniel, Mishael, and Azariah. Brother Maxson said he called them by their Hebrew names. But the Bible says that they went in that fire and the Lord saved them. But listen to this. The king is speaking. He said, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And so Babylon, or King Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled the known world at that time. And when they would not bow to that golden image that was set up, he set a decree after God had delivered him, and the king was so amazed, amen, that he saw that fourth man like unto the Son of God. He called Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He said, come out of that fire. They came out of the fire, and the king got him a piece of paper, and he wrote a decree, not just for his people, but for every people, every nation, every language. What was it he said? That speak anything against this God. Well, that wasn't good enough. But he said, because there is no other God that can deliver out of this sort. Can deliver after this sort. And so let me tell you something. The whole known world at that time, I believe, found out about the fiery furnace. They found out about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm telling you what, when God moves and when God blesses, he will show this world that there's a God in the midst of his people. I'm telling you, he's amidst us. In the midst of us right now, he's among us, he's with us, he's moving, he's still doing miracles, he's still blessing, he's still touching, but there's a lot of people that don't know it because there's a giant in our way and God allowed the giant to come so we could show this world and God could show this world that he's still in the midst of his people. Praise God. He allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go through that fire, and the whole world found out about it. Then in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. He wrote to all people. Listen to this. He wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. Everybody, he wrote them a letter. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. This was the king's decree, signed with his signet. That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, steadfast forever of his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall even be unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. He could have just sent out a decree. Brother Mike and said, I want you to serve the living God. His name is Jehovah. And if you don't, this, that, and the other. But no, he wrote a decree and he signed it right there at the end, who delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. Amen. The whole earth, the whole known earth, amen, that Darius knew about, amen, all people, language, it went in other languages, went in other people, amen, they found out. Praise God, amen, about little old Daniel who opened his windows down there and prayed, and they threw him in the lion's den, and God delivered him from the lion's mouth. Now come on, church, it's going to be hard for us to believe this because, you know, we're just nobody. We're just nothing. We're just simple people. We're just down to earth. I mean, I'm not nothing, and you ain't either. Some of y'all didn't know that. But we're just simple. Here we are. It's hard to believe that God could start a revival right here in Kilgore that the whole earth would hear about. It's hard to believe that. Well, we don't have to believe it, but if we can believe God to take the giant down, there's a truth that will be revealed. And that truth is that all the earth will know there's a God in the midst of his people. It wasn't lifting up David. It wasn't praising Daniel. It wasn't praising Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. It was letting the world know that the God that these people serve is real. Hallelujah. Amen. And the king Nebuchadnezzar wrote it to all the people. He made a decree and he said, after this sort. Now, what do you think they said? They said, what sort? The fiery furnace. And King Darius actually wrote about the lion's den. Now, I want to declare unto you something that I believe the Lord dealt with me. God can start a revival in our midst that the whole earth would know God's in the midst. There's one more truth yet to be revealed. And this truth is for those involved, directly involved in the battle. The first truth was for those that had really nothing to do with the battle. The second truth is for those who are directly involved in the battle. Now, I want to see some hands tonight. How many is involved in the battle? You may be hiding in a trench somewhere, but you're still involved in the battle. Hello? Come on now. You may not be praying like you ought to be, but you're still in the battle. Hello? Amen. So this truth right here that shall be revealed is for those who are directly involved in the battle. He said that all this assembly may know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. The second truth that will be revealed when giant comes down, amen, is it wasn't with the sword and it wasn't with the spear. Listen, we ain't never heard nothing like this. David killed that Goliath and there was no sword in his hand. I'm telling you what, when God brings victory into our lives and when God brings revival in our midst, amen, we will be able to claim none of the glory. None of it. When God moves, one truth that be revealed is that it wasn't by our arm that brought it. It was a divine hand of God. That's the second truth. And it is for those, he said, that all the earth know there's a God in Israel. And then he said, all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Now listen, I tell you what, we got our sword drawn. We're doing all we can. We're seeing God move. We're seeing God give us small victories. I'm telling you what, it's not our sword and it's not our spear that's going to be showing off when God brings that victory. Y'all still with me? That's the second truth that's yet to be revealed. He said that all this assembly shall know. I mean, you got to get the picture of what's going on. David's looking at this big old giant. He said, there's two truths I want to tell you. When God brings you down, first off, the whole world's going to know there's a God in the midst of us. And then number two, this whole assembly is going to know that it ain't sword and it ain't spear that brought the victory. If David would have had a sword, if David would have had a spear, they could have put the glory on him. They already tried. Amen. But anyways, that's beside the point. I don't want to get off on that. This is for those who are directly involved in the battle. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what. Amen. The children of Israel come out of Egypt. I mean, they done spoiled the Egyptians. They don't have hardly nothing left. There's not one house in Egypt that didn't bury a dead, the Bible says. He ruined their crops. Amen. They had frogs, they had lice. I mean, you're talking about going through it now. Locusts, there was nothing left of that place. And they come out of Egypt, and finally old Pharaoh got his chariots and horsemen went up after them. Here they are. And Brother Marvin sang that song tonight, Run Pharaoh Run, hallelujah. You know what happened? The Bible says Pharaoh drew nigh to the children of Israel. Children of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched. I mean, they wasn't just kind of, well, they're marching. Their army, they're in unison. They're fixing to fight after them. They were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, which number one's a lie, they buried all kinds of people 430 years. They wasn't none of them 430 years old. I got two mics on, brother. They said, there ain't no graves in Egypt. There was graves all in Egypt. They had to be. But anyways, take us out of this wilderness to die, wherefore thou dealt with us, carry us for Egypt, to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is this not the word we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, we'll serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know what? When you get in a battle, and it's one of those kind of battles where you are dealing with something you really don't know what to do with, read that scripture over and over and over, because what it really means, God will take care of it and you need to shut your mouth. That's what it means. He said, the Lord will fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. So if you're in a battle and you're afraid you're going to say something you shouldn't say, just read that scripture over and over and over and write it down and say, God's going to take care of it and I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Woo! Praise God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea. Moses held out his rod. The water went back. Waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen came to pass in the morning watch. The Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire in the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels.
here they got these chariots going in after Egypt. I mean, going in out of Egypt after Israel. They're going in the midst of a Red Sea, and God comes down, yanks the wheel off. I mean, just jerking wheels off of the chariots. Praise God. He said, all of this assembly shall know that the Lord don't save with sword and spear. God could have gave them a sword and the children of Israel would have went and killed them Egyptians with their own hands. But instead, God said, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to take care of it for you. So the number two truth is revealed right here in this scripture, that the Lord don't save with sword and spear. He saves by his own hand. He saves by his own anointing. He saves by his own power. I feel like there's some people directly involved in a battle right here. If we can see God move, you will be able to stand and say, it was nothing that I'd done. It was a divine miracle of God. Praise God. He said, the world's going to know there's a God, but he said, these people right here looking are going to know that it ain't with the sword and it ain't with the spear. It's not in our own might. It's not in our own power. The psalmist said, amen, in Psalms chapter 44. Let's read this scripture right here. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Did y'all hear that? The psalmist said here, I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies. Thou hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long. The praise of thy name forever. Selah, I'm telling you what, when God moves, this second truth is going to bring shouting and rejoicing, because the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. He took the chariot wheels off. Amen. The Egyptians didn't know what to do. Listen, God can fight for you. God can take care of things. I mean, we in battles, in life, young people right here, young married couples, raising families, paying bills, trying to work a job. I mean, you can't, your sword ain't going to always bring the victory. Hello? I said, your sword ain't going to always bring the victory. And if you're always dependent on your sword and your ways and your abilities, you can't bring down a giant like that. But if you can come to him and say, you come to me with sword and spear. You see, that's the thing. We can't counteract and use the same tactics the devil does. It's totally different in some areas. Hello? We got to rely totally upon God. We can't go the worldly way as far as on getting some things done. There's some things you've got to have a divine miracle, and God's able to give it to you. And I'm telling you what, when he gives it to you, you'll know that it wasn't with sword and spear, but it was in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you, he said, I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies. Thou hast put them to shame that hate us. In God we boast. I'm telling you what, when we get on the other side of this valley, amen, we're going to be boasting in the Lord, because he's the one that brought the victory. Woo! Hallelujah. Hosea 1:7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God. And will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle. Hello? Not by horses, nor by horsemen. You say you may be so qualified that you have nothing, there's no way in man's eyes that you will fail as far as in this life. But what you're not counting on and what this world ain't counting on is that Goliath that's out there. And when it comes to Goliath, you got to have more. Hello? You got to have more. And I'm telling you what, young people and folks here tonight, we're going to face Goliaths. And there ain't no strength in our own sword. There ain't enough strength in our own arm to bring him down. But there is enough strength in God. There is enough strength in God. I'm telling you what, you may be the type of person that you got it all figured out. You may have it written down on paper. You may have it in the computer. And everything goes just so-so. But there'll come a time, amen, when Goliath will pop his head up. Hey, I'm telling you what. You know what? That's all right. God wants to reveal two truths. He wants to show this world. And he wants to show the sinners. And he wants to show the heathens that he was in the midst of us all the time. And he also wants to show us something. He wants to show us that he don't save always by sword and spear, but sometimes it's by his own hand. Sometimes it's a divine miracle. Woo! Praise God. No wonder, hallelujah, no wonder Miriam got that tambourine and all the ladies went after her and they started singing the Lord's song. Amen, it's a song of victory. And the ladies got those tambourines and they said the Lord threw the horse and rider in the sea. Woo. You know what? You know what they'd have did if they'd have used their own hands? Brother Marvin, Brother Brandon, they'd been holding them up. You know, look. Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior Marvin. Mighty warrior Brandon. Mighty warrior Joe. Mighty warrior RC. Mighty warrior Brother John. Brother, you know, they couldn't do it. Only thing they could get was that tambourine. And they begin to sing, hallelujah. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. He took the chariot wheels off. I'm telling you what, God's able to move. And he wants to show this world that he still moves. I said, God wants to show this world that he still moves. Not only does he want to show this world he still moves, he wants to show everybody directly involved in the battle, I can move. Not by sword and not by spear, but through my own hand and through my own name and through my own power and through my own might. It's not by might, ours, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I feel it in my heart right now that there's people facing Goliaths and you didn't expect them. I'm telling you what, it's an opportunity for the Lord to show this world. It's an opportunity for God to show he's still on the throne. And it's also an opportunity to show you that he don't always work like you think he will work. God does not always work like you think he will work. So David took that sling. He's holding the staff in one hand. Just a little shepherd boy, armed only with a sling. Beside mighty Goliath seems such a puny little thing. But David said, you come to me with sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He took out a stone and he gave it a fling. When it left his hand, David, he began to sing. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you wish you could take your wallet out? Wallet, I speak to you and, you know, all the bills are paid. Don't you wish you could just snap your finger and everything be done? Exactly what you needed. Exactly what you needed. But you can't when it's that Goliath. He's too tall. And I'll tell you the way I feel in my heart tonight. I feel like there's some young person, young couple, young family, somebody that's struggling tonight, and you look at your need and it's so tall, there's no way. You may have to put Saul's sword back. Y'all listening to me? I want somebody to listen to me right now. You may have to put Saul's sword back. You may have to say, Saul, I can't take this. this sword and this shield and all this, I've never proved it. I really don't know. But I'm going to trust the God that's always brought me through. You see, here's what some of us like to do. We like to keep that armor on. You know, keep that sword down here, Brother RC. And then we're going to take our shepherds, you know, our staff and the sling. And just in case this rock don't hit him just right, I'll have his sword. Come on, God help us. I declare unto you by the word of God tonight, if you're going to see God bring down that giant in your life, you got to put the sword and the shield and all the rest of Saul's stuff aside. You got to say, you come to me with sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. What would David have said if he wouldn't have put it aside, Brother Curtis? I got Saul's sword. Saul's a mighty warrior. He's helped and he's won victories for God. I'm telling you what, that's all great and good. And we can talk about it in testimony service. But it's time for Goliath to fall. It's time for God to move. It's time for a miracle. And God's still in the miracle working business. And God wants to help somebody right in this church house tonight. But you got to let him help you. You got to let him touch you. You got to step out in faith and say, I'm going to trust God.
Stand together with me tonight.
The reason there's two truths that are yet to be revealed, Brother RC, is because Goliath's still standing. The reason they're yet to be revealed is because somebody ain't believed God and threw that stone yet. Oh, God, help us right here. I'd like for us together in these altars find us a place to pray. Everyone that will, let's come. Seek the face of God.